Hi everyone, and welcome back today to a super exclusive and fashion forward episode of Empower. My power, your power, our power. Today's extra special guest on Empower is the ultimate and most sought after name on every VIP list, not only in the UAE but everywhere in the world. She's known as the Queen of Fashion, and get this, Christian Louboutin has even named a shoe after her. How fabulous is that? You know, if you haven't guessed already, it's the fashion fabulous Rosemin Mathavji. Hi, Rosemin. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, first of all, welcome to Dubai. We're happy to have you here.
It's my pleasure. You know, I love it, and I have wonderful friends like you who are so warm and gorgeous.
Me too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can, if you see a photo after this podcast, she looks amazing, by the way. She is like this life size doll.
How sweet. I feel like a garden right now, but spring and summer it is. Okay, anyway. So I'm here with you, Rosemin, which has been your home for how many years now?
Almost 15 years.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. That's more than a decade. And you're from Canada originally.
Yeah, I was brought up in Canada, and then I moved to London. So I kind of spent equal amounts of time everywhere, and a quick stint in Italy.
Yeah, okay, nice. Oh, I love Italy.
Yeah, I lived in Milan.
Okay, lovely. Hence the fashion, angle for you, and how lovely. It just comes naturally to you. And, you know, I have to say this, and this is not even like something I'm reading, it's you are genuinely warm and beautiful in and out.
Oh,
and every person
you.
We know in common says that about you.
Thank you so much.
So genuinely, more power to you.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's get straight to it. You know, you are fabulous in person. Your pictures, I mean, guys, you just have to see them. And you radiate fashion, luxury and style. So tell me, you're the founder and managing director of Bespoke Luxury Management Firm, RR & Co.
Yeah.
Take us through the journey in fashion and to what got you here to RR & Co.
So it happened really organically. I studied in London. So I went to what's called University of Arts now, but back then it was called London College of Fashion and Central St. Martin's.
Mm-hmm.
So I studied at both those colleges, and I graduated with fashion management, specializing in luxury goods marketing.
Okay.
And I did some design courses, but I realized my strength was more into like the business side. I just really understood the commercial side of the business.
Okay.
And during my stint in London, you know, I always thought I'd move to New York, and I think my parents, because my parents are based in Toronto, I always thought that New York was where I'd go, and London would be kind of this three-year stint. And my dad grew up in the UK, so we kind of have like this love.
Yeah, this love
for London. But pretty
Me
much,
too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And pretty much in my first year, I just like, I was a sponge. I was interning everywhere, and by second year university, I got headhunted by Tom Ford. And I started, obviously, I couldn't leave school.
But fantastic, you know, to start there.
Yeah, so I was really lucky. And I had weaves of incredible opportunities because I loved art. So I did an internship at Sotheby's. I had a weekend job at Blaine's Fine Art, which, you know, Harry Blaine, who is obviously one of the most influential art collectors in the world and art dealers in the world, really taught me about contemporary art. And it was really my passion, but I ended up, you know, I'd already started my path in the fashion field.
Yeah.
So I worked at Burberry head office. And then when the Gucci opportunity came into my, like, you know, towards the end of my university, I couldn't leave school.
Say no. Yeah,
I couldn't leave school.
Yeah.
So we made a deal that I would start in the press office as an intern and juggle school.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much the minute I handed in my dissertation, Monday morning, I was working in Mr. Ford's office.
Wow.
So that was my path in fashion.
Right.
And over the course of the years of being in his core team, so it was literally his desk, my desk, and his PA, like, so we're right there.
I mean, you can't get a better mentor or
a learning experience
to start off.
And I always say that, like, nothing, and I say this in every interview, and he knows that, is that I learned more from him than I ever did in university. Because
Absolutely.
To watch someone make...
Hands-on,
make, you know, really tough strategic decisions, watch him manage people, really...
Grow a brand.
You know,
start and grow,
and also multiple brands, because
Absolutely.
He was creative director of Saint Laurent.
Yep.
He was VP of Gucci Group, so everything was under him. Stella, McQueen, Bouchon, like all these brands were under his kind of strategic advisory as well.
Right.
So I learned so much from him.
Yeah.
And, Yeah, and then I, you know, when he left, I moved to Gucci in Milan. I designed for Gucci for women's wear for a year.
Oh, lovely. And I didn't know you designed as well. That's fabulous.
So I was a part of the women's wear team for a year. Yeah. And then...
You must share some of the pictures.
Yeah.
That came out that season, honestly.
No, it was just such a great experience to be living there. And learning, because I think every time we used to travel to Milan, I'm sure like you, and you go during Fashion Week, it's so much fun, and it's a big party.
Absolutely.
But when you live there, it's a proper industrial town. But you know what? It's great to do that in your early 20s, right? Like,
absolutely.
It's great to kind of challenge yourself and,
you know, try everything, learn from everything. And because you have a creative streak, I understand. Like, I love fashion. We talk about travel, art, fashion, everything, but there's so much creativity in our daily lives.
Yes,
you know, that
course.
Is a part of everything we do.
Of course.
So I minored in art history in London too, so I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah,
because
you
love everything and you don't know what part to pursue, but then obviously you choose one. You know?
And you have to choose one, right? Because you're like,
and
I'm paying for this education.
All about the beauty and the colors and the creativity. They all tie in.
But I really believe that. Like, you know, where I am now, and I just turned 41, and I look back at my 20-something years. Your career.
You look 21.
I love you. Oh my God. This is why we're friends. She makes me feel good. She makes me feel good.
No,
but I look back and I can see that everything, every experience I've had, every person I've had, every person I've met or where I've traveled, everything comes together in the end. Like, all those experiences add up.
Absolutely.
But you know, I was at Gucci at a very special time because everyone who was working in that building in Grafton Street are now or was creative directors of the biggest fashion houses.
Wow.
So you can imagine all of us were assistants. So Alessandra Michele and I started at the same time, who is now the creative director of Gucci.
Gucci, of course.
You know, Davide Rene, who is the, you know, heads women's wear designer at Gucci right now, under Alessandro. Claire Wright Keller, her and I used to travel together every week to Milan. She was the knitwear designer, then went on to be creative director of Pringle and, of course, Givenchy. Christopher Bailey, when I joined Christopher, just started at Burberry. And just kind of everyone I met, whether they were executives or designers in the design team, we were all at a time which we call like the school of Tom Ford, because you really understood about fashion management, and all of us.
And it's like seeds growing into, you know, blossoming.
Exactly.
Literally.
And so we were all there at such a special, special time to have someone, not only like Tom Ford, but Domenico De Sole, who was the CEO, to have them as your mentors and bosses. You know, and so... you know, all these kind of experiences, and the reason I'm telling you this story is because
it leads to
what you're doing now.
Yeah,
because when I left Gucci in Milan, it was one of the toughest decisions to make. And, you know, you can imagine, I was in my early 20s. I got this crazy experience job, and, you know, it was a whirlwind.
One of the best companies in the world.
One of the best companies in the world, to work with the creative directors, to be in the design team, to be flying all over the world, working with celebrities and Oscar dresses. I mean, it was just a dream, right?
Yep.
And, you know, you work 24/7, but you can when you're in your early 20s, right?
Especially if you're doing something you love and you wake up excited. You know?
Exactly.
You're like,
then I got a funny phone call, which was from Juicy Couture, but you can imagine it was in the early 2000s. And this company was valued at $1 billion. It was valued at $1 billion on the New York Stock Exchange. And I get this call from a headhunter, and they're like, listen, like, Pam and Gila want you to run the brand in Europe, but you're going to oversee Europe and Middle East, but your job is to rebrand it in Europe, as well as bring out all these other categories, which were menswear and perfume and home and kids.
Fabulous, no?
Yeah, and you know, you have a blank checkbook essentially to get the fabulous office. And so there was the director, which was this amazing woman named Amanda, myself, and we had an assistant, and the office kind of manager. And it was so nice because it actually brought out your entrepreneurial side.
Yes.
And so
you're suddenly in charge and you have to overlook everything, right?
Yeah, and you know, you're handling all the PR offices and you know, editing the buy and working with the... And it just actually taught me about so many angles of the fashion side. And it was probably one of the hardest jobs to take because I'm such a Pisces. Like, I have to go what I'm really passionate about. And my dad goes, Rosemann, you know, he's like, I know you love Gucci, but he's like, you shop too much. Like, he's like, you're not saving any money. He's like, your paycheck comes and you've already, like... you know, and I would do that. Like, yeah. All of us did it, right?
Typical 20s.
Yeah,
anyway,
typical
20s,
right? Like, the minute the paycheck came, I'd already call the store manager and be like, can you get that jacket and that dress
like,
and the shoes?
I do that. If I'm shooting with a designer, even now,
you're
for
ordering.
My podcast, I buy all this. Exactly. Like, I'm buying, so my friends tease me that I think you're spending more than you're making.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
And so my dad goes, listen, like, you've had the most incredible, you know,
experience.
5-6 years. Yeah. He's like, please, like, learn something and start building your career. So I packed up, moved back
wise
to London.
Man.
Yeah, wise man, I know. My dad's like, please, you know, how much are those shoes? So I packed up and I set up Juicy Couture with these two other women. One was from London, the other one was from California.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually such an entrepreneurial experience because obviously for me, my job was to really rebrand and get out of the tracksuits. But also, I was using all my celebrity contacts. So everyone from Queen Rania, Gwyneth Paltrow, like everyone I kind of ever worked with at some point.
Right.
And I just had a really good, and that was one of the other things I realized. I realized I had a really good eye. So I could look at something and be like, okay, that's going to work commercially. That's going to work editorially.
Yeah, yeah.
This is going to photograph well. This is going to look great on you. And I realized, like, you know, I always had that in me, even as a kid. But when I was working with Tom, I really refined my sense of what would work commercially, what would work editorially. And so I took all that experience and we launched Juicy. Now, we launched it everywhere.
Oh,
it was
lovely.
In every concession.
Fantastic.
It was making
it
crazy
was all
back
over.
Money.
I remember I must have picked up so many. In fact, in Dubai,
you were in that. That was the store we opened.
Yes,
and
I remember.
And so we were in Selfridges and Harvey Nichols and just Harrods. Like, it was just this crazy brand that had mushroomed, and we're opening all these categories. And then it was really funny because when I was at Gucci, I was just this girl working in the office. And when
you were the boss.
And so when I was at Juicy, I had this title of, you know, European PR director, and all of a sudden, Kate Moss was on the cover of Daily Mail wearing a trench coat that I had that Juicy had gifted her, that I'd selected for her.
Wow.
And the kind of heading was, she's not, you know, Kate Moss is not wearing Burberry.
She's
wearing Juicy.
And I
was like, my gosh. And then all of a sudden, you know, Queen Rania was photographed in, you know, the family kids' birthdays, and they were all matching Juicy shirts that
you can't beat that.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know, gifted
fabulous.
Them and styled them in, and she would send these personal notes, and I was like,
gorgeous,
and she's
as well.
Gorgeous,
yeah, so elegant.
And then all these celebrities started wearing all the Juicy Couture sunglasses, and you know, in American Vogue, and then everyone started wondering, they're like, who is this girl sitting in a London Mayfair office getting
It is London Mayfair, why not?
Yeah, yeah,
don't put yourself down.
Yeah, it was like the Hartnell shirt. It was this amazing address. And all of a sudden, I started getting calls from around the world. They're like, who is this girl that got Juicy Couture and all these kind of A-list celebrities?
Oh, fabulous. I have goosebumps listening to this.
Like, so it was actually this kind of pivotal moment where I just think that, you know, sometimes you want to go in one direction, but you kind of really have to trust your father or your gut, you know? In my case, it was my dad. Who was like, you know, just try it.
Sure.
And so that was such a great moment. And honestly, when I left Juicy, my proudest moment was opening Vanity Fair. You know how they have the best dress list?
Of course.
And the Hall of Fame that year was Queen Rania.
And
so they always choose one woman for the Hall of Fame. And so Queen Rania was the woman.
Great timing. Yeah.
Great timing. And so they had this big picture of her. She was wearing Gucci and Saint Laurent, which I worked with her on that outfit with because everything was a little bit customized. It was a longer skirt. And that was a photo of her, like it was like a candid shot of her walking on the street. And when they started talking about her fashion and interviewing her, they said, what's your favorite piece of clothing? And, you know, she could have said Chanel. She could have said Oscar. She goes, I love my Juicy Couture long sleeve. Juicy Couture long sleeve shirts. You know, and because these shirts actually just covered covered the hips. So it was really flattering.
Yeah.
And had like a little cute, I can't remember what the emblem was. It was just like a little tiny cute
logo.
They're
so comfortable. That's the idea, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I just was like, this is great. Like, out of every brand she
could
show.
You can't ask for better branding, honestly. And organically too.
Organically. And so I think that was one of my highlights. And when you get these little achievements for me, everyone was like, okay, but it's just, you know, she mentioned it. But for me, it was like the biggest.
It's the biggest personal high you can have. Exactly.
And so I was like, okay, great. I've done well at this job. And then, you know, I'd always been traveling to Dubai for about 20 years. And we were building a house on the Palm. And you can just imagine the Palm wasn't done yet.
Yes.
And I came to Dubai, and I was just starting Dior in the PR office, and it was literally like week one in, and I was going before Fashion Week, and I said, let me go to Dubai, we'll check on the on the house and everything. And I'm sitting at the Park Hyatt working out of there, going back and forth to the Palm, and it was over that course of that 3 weeks, mm-hmm. everyone started calling me,
right?
And my phone starts ringing, and I'm like, hello?
Destiny.
Yeah. So, and I kind of already knew, because I knew my bearings in Dubai, because I'd already been here. We'd opened in Emirates Towers. We'd opened Juicy and Gucci and all these brands. So I'd mm-hmm. always kind of seen the lay of the land. Mm-hmm. And I started getting these phone calls within this 3 week period I was here. And they're like, Rosemann, would you mind? You know, I don't want to travel to, because no one really knew Dubai. All they heard was like Middle East.
Of course.
15 years ago.
Yeah.
Would you mind going into Jimmy Choo? And, you know, and it was an exec, like a ex colleague of mine. She was like heading up Jimmy Choo.
Right.
And she goes, Rosemann, would you mind going into Emirates Towers at Jimmy Choo? Like, here's a little bit of money, buy a pair of shoes. But while you're there, ask the sales assistant, you know, does she know what a Ramona bag is? Can she describe the leather, like the Napa leather? Does she know who Tamara Mellon is, who was a creative director at that time? She's like, just ask her, because essentially what luxury brands want, which is mm-hmm. what's happening now, is this element of globalization with a regional touch, right?
Okay.
Like, that's the trick.
Yeah, of course, that's why they have the capsule lines. And
of course, right? So what was happening is you have this high net worth consumer that, when you're buying Hermes or Jimmy Choo or whatever, you should be able to go into any store around the world and get that great experience.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you're in Fifth Avenue or here. And mm-hmm. so I just literally started, like, without nothing formal, I would just pick up a pair of shoes, email her back casually. And
your
feedback. And I was like, yeah, listen, like, there's, you know, it's missing this or missing that, or, you know, this is what the experience is.
Because you said you have a great eye for these things too, you know, and a good sense of it.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought it was just fun because I was here for 3 weeks, and so I was like, oh, this is
sharing your views.
Yeah, sharing my views. And you know, one thing led to another. So it was like, you know, a colleague at Chanel, a colleague at Burberry. Like, it just started adding up. And then finally I get a call from Tiffany's in New York.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. So it's this executive, you know, this VP of PR. And he's like, hey, are you Rosemann? I'm like, yes. And he goes, listen, I heard you have a luxury goods consultancy firm. And, you know, we're opening the first flagship store in Dubai Mall. And we're the first store to open. And if you know where Tiffany's is in Dubai Mall, it's right at the entrance.
Yes, it is.
And he's like, listen, I want you to train the staff, like groom the staff, make sure they understand, you know, everything about grooming. Like, making sure their nails are done, like, making sure the uniforms are on track.
Lovely. I didn't even know that you did everything. I mean, honestly,
we were doing
everything.
So you can imagine, this job comes, and he goes, I want you to train the staff, do the PR. We have the CEO coming. I want you to organize a dinner. We have the gemologist coming. We're bringing the famous yellow dime. And the list was so long.
Oh, my.
So he goes, and this is how much we're paying. And I was like, what? And I was like, oh, my God, I have it. Like, this is a job.
Why not?
And he's like, what's the name of your company? And I think we just
came up on the spot.
And, you know, I realized, I was like, oh, my God, this is where the niche is. Because if I looked at what I was doing for the past 3 weeks, I was essentially consulting these brands.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I was helping my friends write these reports that, you know, they had to do because they don't want to travel. And so one thing, again, led to another. I started building my team. I started in the living room of my new house.
Yeah.
And from there, we got a villa. And then finally, we moved downtown because we were this new luxury brand, overlooking, you know, the beautiful water and skyline.
Of course.
But, you know, that Tiffany's project put me on the map globally, because what we did in Dubai, everything was about big and huge. Mm-hmm. So it was about these million-dollar parties with thousands of people. And again, because my train of thought is the Tom Ford train of thought.
Yes, yes.
You know, every customer
attention
coming into store. Yeah. Needs to be vetted. And I had this amazing creative director from LA who joined my team, and her name was Yasi, and she was so talented. And what we created was the first breakfast at Tiffany's in Dubai,
like
a lady
breakfast.
Classic. We did a blue carpet coming out of the back of the mall right into the store.
The Tiffany blue. Yeah.
And, you know, what she created, like, she was just such a visionary, and she was just this amazing woman. She created the outside of the hoarding was New York City.
Ooh.
And the whole idea is you walk in this blue carpet, and from New York City, you enter Dubai.
Oh, nice.
And the inside of the hoarding was the New York skyline at night. So we had one night where we teamed up with the charity Dubai Cares, and we did a jazz night in the mall. Like, you can just imagine, yeah. Right? And then we did...
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah, we did a breakfast at Tiffany's the next day. We did the store opening, obviously, with the CEO. We did a dinner with the American ambassador. Like, we just started creating these intimate events for the brand.
And different. Rather than the usual just champagne or, high tea.
Yeah, and every event had a purpose or, like, an angle to it. And rather than having hundreds and hundreds of people, it was literally... 15 women, 20 women, a seated dinner of 20, like 10 couples.
I remember you invited me for the Burberry event last, and I loved it, the personal touch.
It was just all
intimate.
And
you can see the collections, you can pick up what you can actually have a conversation. You know, it was really nice, very well done, and despite so many restrictions because of COVID.
And that's COVID, yeah. But you can imagine 15 years ago, this event at Tiffany's literally put us on the map because everyone was like, what? We're not invited? Or like the media was like, what? We're not invited? And I was like, no, we're only dealing with...
that creates the hype.
That creates the hype, but also like, I was like, no, like we looked at all the publications in the region. And I said, which one is speaking to a luxury consumer? Which is speaking to the consumer that...
Yeah. Rather than getting everyone.
Right. Like who was speaking to the reader that, you know, at that point it was all magazine. There wasn't really anything online. So it was like,
Who
is
speaking? Magazines,
I love magazines too. I love, flipping through it. But I was like, who is the reader? Like if even if it's an affluent, like someone who is an aspirational reader.
Absolutely.
Who can start to afford Tiffany's. I was like, okay, this is who we want to invite, right? So we started putting this list together and I think, we started doing that back to back with all the brands that started coming on board. So, Burberry, we did all the events for Chanel. When Tom Ford came, we opened his store. We hosted him here.
Yeah.
So it was like one thing kind of just led to another. Yeah. And
I think the timing is everything too. And I think nobody was doing this back then.
No,
and the attention and the detailing that you went to, the fact that you were literally categorizing buyers or inviting people according to the themes well. Like, from the American ambassador, like you mentioned. Yeah. So I don't think anybody went into so much detail.
Well,
so you created a niche anyway for yourself.
Exactly. So 15 years ago, we were really the first ones.
Absolutely.
And the other element that really set us apart was we were the first showroom in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. So we had all the samples of... Kara Ross, Christian Louboutin shoes. We had Celine, we had Givenchy. And again, that changed, that positioned us so differently because no one in the region knew what samples were.
Absolutely.
And we would get them from the offices from all over. And the great thing about being in this region is that they shoot only a month before magazines.
Right.
Whereas American Vogue or these bigger publications shoot 6 months
exactly.
before.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah. So all the brands in Paris and New York and Italy were like, Rosemond, this is great. Like, our samples, they're done.
Everything's ready and done.
Because all they care about are the huge magazines. And they're like, we shot everything. Of course you can
take what you like.
Take what you like.
Everything's
so good. All the fashion editors and everyone started calling me. They're like, Rosemond, this is great. Because if they take from the store and something gets ruined, they have to obviously pay for it,
Absolutely.
So we really changed the landscape of not only the way PR and showroom was done, but also how to do niche events. And it really put us on the map. So we were covered by kind of all the big publications and knock on wood, we got like a lot of awards because we were changing the landscape of fashion.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So tell me, when you aren't propelling luxury brands, what other exciting things are on your hands? Like from hosting a talk show, which draws in millions of viewers across the globe, judging beauty awards, most recently at Vogue, right? And to being a brand ambassador to luxury labels, you do it all. So tell me, Rosemond, how do you balance it all? I mean, which of the many roles do you play that you enjoy the most that you play?
Well, I think it's really, I think for your listeners, I think it's really important to understand, especially if there's any female entrepreneurs, one of the hardest decisions I had to make was actually closing down the PR side of the business and closing down the showroom. And I think for any business owner, that is so traumatic because I got my company audited at a certain point in the business, about 5 or 6 years in. And, of course, being an emerging market, you can imagine the business landscape changes day by day.
Right.
So the pattern or the trend I started seeing was that the government had changed, they changed the way owners can build a business. So they started doing joint ventures.
Right.
Now, if you have a joint venture, you don't need a Rosemond to come in because why would you pay my team of, staff?
If you already
have a joint venture because the same amount, you can actually hire one PR girl.
Absolutely.
You already have an office, so it's about converting one office into your own showroom. So right when I saw that trend happening and I saw one client leaving and the second client and the third client, I was like, no, I need to get the business audited.
Right.
When I got the business audited, team said, you know, Rosamund, you have a great business. You can do two things. You can either sell it, but you have to come on board with the new parent company.
Right.
And the tricky thing about that is obviously if you don't agree with what the parent company is doing with your name.
Yes.
And me being a total
hype. It's like your little
you're selling,
baby.
Yeah.
And you put your heart and soul into it.
Exactly.
Basically.
And this was my first business. I was so passionate about it.
Yeah.
And the second part of the business, they told me, they're like, you're going to have to go into F&B because that is the new trend. All the Zumas, the LPMs, you know, here it's a huge restaurant culture. And, you know, here every day there's a new restaurant opening, especially in the premium sector.
Exactly.
So they're like, why don't you do restaurant PR? Like, this is where the money's at. This is, you know, here are the plans for DIFC. Here are the plans for downtown. You know, like, I had everyone telling me, like, all the big brands were coming. And I had to look at it and I said, you know what, my niche, like what is my niche?
Yeah,
I said,
your passion.
My passion. I said, I don't drink. So any restaurant business, you have to have alcohol sponsors majority of the time if there's any kind of event or whatever. I said, if you're doing restaurants, you have to be able to entertain at night all the time clients. And I said, I don't want that lifestyle.
Right. Yeah.
I was just personally for me, it wasn't for me, you know?
Right.
And secondly, majority of my database are women from the local community as well as other communities. And I said, I don't really deal in the men's sector. So I said, this is not going to work for me.
Right.
So I made sure that all the my team and the PR side of the business, I got them all jobs. Everyone was happy. I closed that side of the business. And it was actually just a really pivotal point because I had to be like, okay, where am I taking this now?
Right.
But you'll be surprised in parallel when I look at when I came here by year one. So I wrapped up year one in Dubai. I got a call from Dubai Media Office, which is the local TV, Dubai One.
Right.
They offered me a TV spot.
Wow.
So I had 15 minutes.
But look at you. Who would
honestly. But you know, it wasn't like the
But
pay
you're a natural. What I mean is that.
Yeah,
I'm not just trying to compliment.
No,
you're a natural. It shows, you know, you're the perfect example of what it.
No.
And like I always say, you make it look effortless.
Oh,
you do, honestly.
Thank you. No, but I think it goes back to like, you know, I was starting this. I just left London. I'm building this business here. I get a call from Dubai Media Office. I go to their offices and it was in, I think in like Garud or whatever area.
Right.
Go into their offices and they're like, listen, Rosamund, we've never seen anyone with a CV like yours. Like you have proper fashion experience. You know all these designers. You know celebrities. They're not like, you can speak with a sense of authority.
Yes.
They're like, here is 15 minutes for you every Thursday.
Yeah.
And it was on a show called Studio One. And so they're like, what do you want to coin your segment? I said, let's call it Fashion Thursdays.
Yeah.
And I had 15 minutes to talk about beauty,
trends.
Fashion, trends, my picks in the store.
Everything
like,
we love.
Everything. I love, right? Film festivals. Like, they gave me literally 15 minutes of airtime.
Wow.
So I did that for 5 seasons.
Right.
And doing 5 seasons of 15 minutes of live airtime, right? You learn how to condense your words and get it in that.
Absolutely.
In that kind of episode, right?
Right.
The segment that you've been given. And while that was going on, again, by year two of me being in Dubai, Harper's Bazaar opened.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, Rosamund. We've
yes.
never seen anyone with your experience. You know all the designers. You have months speed dial. You understand editorial.
Yeah.
You know, can you come on board? And I can't, again, and you can just imagine, like R&Co, my business had just mushroomed overnight. Like,
right.
We had every head office calling. Every brand wanted to be a part
Absolutely.
Of us because they didn't. You know, they just had a satellite office. You know, to run their PR.
Right.
So with Harper's, I was like, listen.
Perfect.
This is a perfect fit,
combination,
right?
Yeah,
great combination
perfect
because
fit,
I have
right.
the luxury brands. They wanted some of my strategic advisory.
Yep.
So I came on as a strategic consultant or like...
And you're still on their panel.
Yeah,
on
so
the
I'm
board
just on
of,
the board, yeah. So I still
work
for
them. Are
you
like a contributing editor?
So
or?
Now I'm a contributing editor.
Yeah.
But when I first started with them, I was like strategic director. So I kind of came on as... Mm-hmm. helping them, you know, when a designer was coming into town, how to get exclusives.
Right.
We created models of the best dress list, which was a commercial model,
mm-hmm.
How World of Fashion, House of Bazaar. So we started creating all these things over this course of 13 years.
So tell me, do these things, like, of course they come naturally, but do you have like a team that kind of tells you, is it all that just comes to you organically? Like you just think of things and you're like, I think we should do this. We should do a best dress list. We should do.
So the best dress list was a combination idea with the editor at the time.
Okay.
Who was it's this amazing girl, Louise Nichols. So, you know, we both kind of came up with that over a coffee.
Yeah.
And we're like, how do we build this brand? Because the great thing about this incredible city is that it has so much diversity.
Absolutely.
So much diversity, absolutely. Right? So
from you have cultures
from
to
culture,
you know,
different
even
people.
The fashion.
Yeah,
even
and everyone has a different point of view, right? Because
correct.
It's a melting pot. And
absolutely.
So we're like, let's put this together. So and as the course of this publication went on, it was changing because there was new publishers, new editors. But what we created was a model really showing women that just weren't women who shopped. They were the head of one of the senior advisors of Christie's, who was a little bit older woman, but she had great style.
Amazing.
How do you, and to me, real fashion is personal style,
absolutely.
Right? It's not brands. It's
right.
really like, how do you mix and match and create
yeah.
something that is you?
Like you wear the outfit shouldn't wear you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So I love, like that was one of my passion projects.
Right.
And so it was actually just really nice that when I look at my career again, even though I had this entrepreneurial streak, in parallel was this talk show I had every Thursday,
yes.
you know, and then I was working with Harper's, you know, and so it wasn't a full-time, either.
Yeah.
None of them were full-time. It was just you dip in, you dip out, you do your thing.
But amazing, because you then got to explore so many different arenas.
Yeah. So when I made that decision to close the PR side, which honestly took me a few months because, even my parents, they were like, oh, we always said you have a PR office. Like, what do we say now? You know, like they didn't know what to call me anymore.
Exactly.
But what was interesting is all these brands were like, Rosamund, you know, you're the one who has, these women trust your style.
Absolutely.
You understand them. You've been with them for 15, 20 years. If I've known them for London and they're now living here. So we started just doing niche events for brands.
Right.
And indirectly, it turned into, before the word influencer started,
yep.
that's what I was doing, right?
Yeah.
Like anything I kind of wore, women would be like, oh, okay, we love that. Or we love how you styled that. Or it was just a really...
inspired by so many
things. Yeah, they're inspired.
Yeah.
And so, which I think is really nice and natural. And so all these things kind of come into play, but everything happened organically in my career. And that's what I love.
But I'm sure a lot of hard work, too. I can hear
it.
I feel like I'm on this beautiful journey listening to, the last, your career path, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
And it sounds amazing.
It's hard work because I think people always think that being an entrepreneur, I mean, for me personally, like, I don't know what 9 to 5 is, right?
Right.
Like, for me, if I always have a notepad by my bedside, if I can think of something or my best... I problem solve in the middle of the night, and sometimes I'll write the email out on my phone. I'll save it in my drafts.
Yeah.
I want someone to see that I've written it.
Middle
like,
of the night.
Yeah, middle of the night, and I send it first thing in the morning. But I just realized that, like, that's the way my brain is programmed.
Yes.
Like, I just, when I get an idea or I can solve a problem or I can think of a new way to for a brand to communicate to the consumer, I want to share those ideas.
Yeah, and you jot everything down.
Jot everything down. And so... So today I do have the flexibility of having this great talk show, and I have an amazing sponsor who are amazing. They're just an incredible partner from Hong Kong, and they've given me this platform to do interviews like you're doing. And then I get to MC events, and like and I love it. Like, I love meeting people.
I remember seeing you at the Jimmy Choo in Mall of the Emirates.
Yeah, of course.
And you were so good, and you were chatting, and the whole collection, and the lady had flown down from Paris. And you were so good, and I love the way you kind of, it looks like it is a candid chat, but it's like, so smooth and easy, and everyone feels a part of it. It's like as if you're sitting with friends.
Yeah, and I love that.
And I
enjoy being on stage, and I enjoy getting that energy from people as well.
Absolutely.
But I always think, like, I didn't get here without going through all of that.
Of course.
Those experiences led me to where I am
today. It's like the 15-minute show. And today you have your own show. And then the thing is that it makes you such a good orator and a natural. And that's what we don't see, the sweat behind the, so it's a journey. And how beautifully you've achieved it.
Thank you.
I'm sure our listeners who would love to be in your shoes, I mean, could you take us through a day in your life? Just a normal day.
So I will say that, I mean, honestly, even if you looked at my calendar right now, no... 2 days are ever the same.
Yeah, tea or coffee? How does it start with? Or juice?
No, actually, I start with tea. I start with hot water and lemon every morning.
Lovely.
I start with hot water and lemon, but I am a coffee drinker.
Me too. Yeah.
I have a serious weakness for Starbucks.
Okay.
And it's funny because every time my birthday comes along, someone always sends me like the latest Nespresso machine as a gift.
And you're like, I just want my Starbucks.
And I still, like, it's so pretty in my kitchen, but
really?
like, There's something about Starbucks which has my heart, and I order the same thing all the time.
Yeah.
But no 2 days.
Which one?
Oh my! I have this almond milk. It's really sad.
No,
like
that's all right.
The guy knows me. The guy knows me downstairs. No, it's an almond milk latte with half a shot of sugar-free vanilla.
Okay.
Oh, I know. It's probably not good.
Interesting.
But yeah.
I'll try it.
So I order the same thing every day, and I just it's like my treat for the day.
Yeah. How lovely.
I don't know, like no 2 days ever the same, and especially like, you know, one day you could be like hosting an event, the other day I might be filming some content.
Right.
I have some great brands that I'm an ambassador of, so I really support them.
Mm-hmm.
I sit on a few boards as well, so I have my like the stuff I do for kind of charity and all of that.
Oh, lovely.
So I really try and balance my life because I feel like to me that's the most fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I sit on the board for the Aga Khan Museum, especially the patrons committee here, and I love speaking about, you know, His Highness's work and what he's built in Canada for the museum. And, you know, right this week, next week is actually Art Dubai. So we're planning all these kind of activations and things like that give me passion because that really comes from my heart.
Yeah.
Then I get to work with brands and create niche events. And so every day is so different.
Yeah. So you're speaking of working with brands as Louboutin designed the shoe for you. And there are a lot of brands that have been inspired by you. So they've designed bags, blouses, kaftans even. So tell us what you think makes you a successful brand. I think we've been through a lot of the fact that, of course, the, you know, that you are so experienced, you've been exposed to, you know, wonderful people in the industry and celebrities. But what do you feel makes you a personal brand? I want to hear.
I think for me, I describe my style feminine with a twist of trend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just growing up, I've always been more on the modest side of fashion.
Right.
And so I still think you can be fashionable. I mean, and I'm saying what works for me, right?
Like absolutely.
I wish I was 6 foot tall.
Yeah, like, don't we all?
Like I look at these and I'm like, oh, I'd love to wear that. But I know my body shape.
Right.
And I try and dress for my body shape and my lifestyle. And I feel like I've always just stayed true to who I am.
True.
I don't really get
swayed by
trends. Yeah. I really don't. Like, if, you know, for me, like, there's a few things I love per season, and that, you know, I have a weakness for, like you, Dolce & Gabbana prints, right?
Yes,
but one of the reasons I love Dolce and is because you can buy that print
and wear it forever.
You can wear it forever, bring it back and forth,
absolutely.
whether it's a leopard
even
print
style
or floral.
It differently.
But what's great about that brand is they take that print and they've made it in 10 different types of silhouettes.
Absolutely.
So you can find that print, right, mm-hmm. for the season.
Right.
But find it in a dress
T-shirt
shape.
To a dress.
Yeah.
To
and you can find
everything.
It in a dress or a top.
Even pants now.
But
know?
That work for your body shape,
absolutely.
Right? So you can still have that element of trend,
mm-hmm.
but wear it for you. And that's kind of one of the reasons I always go to that,
yes.
that brand. And also a lot of their silhouettes, like, fit me. But I always think that's, like, a really clever way for designers to tap into a wider market
mm-hmm.
rather than just making, like,
yeah, I mean, they go for
one
every
print.
Body type.
Every body
you know,
type.
Because they do these corseted
yeah,
things,
and
then
just,
they suddenly have a summer dress.
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing.
So,
yeah.
You know, I always think I've been just really true to who I am. And one of the reasons, I mean, you named the Louboutin shoe, so obviously, you're like, I've known Christian since I was 19 from London, and obviously when he moved here, we handled the PR, and I traveled with him all over the world, and I consider him very much a friend.
Okay.
And one of the funny stories is, you know, since he came out with the Non Privé heel, which is the hidden platform.
Yes.
So I always used to buy it in Montcalm Street.
Okay.
And I loved it because I was short. Like, and so this heel came out. I just thought it was so clever because it has the platform. No one can see the platform.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you get this boost of height and you can literally wear it day
and
to night.
And comfortable, yeah.
They were
exactly.
comfortable. So I would buy them in every color. Fast forward, I moved to Dubai and, you know, we reconnect again. He's like, Rosamund, like, I'm opening my business. I want you to handle my PR, all of this stuff. Every time I was with him, I was wearing the same shoe, different colors. He's like, Rosamund, I design, you know, hundreds of styles. Like, you gotta be kidding me. Like,
right.
you know, this is such a classic heel. Can't you do something trendy? So every time I try a trendier shoe, but you know, when you're working,
yeah, you want comfort
first. You want
comfort.
Yeah.
You want to look good, but you want comfort. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So he'd always, again, every time we were together, and we've been to weddings together, we've been to parties together, and work events, and he'd always say, "Oh, this is Rosamund. Like, she's very classic, but she has a twist of trend." And
right.
then when this heel came out, it is, if you look at it, it is the non privé mm-hmm. heel in the front, so it has a hidden platform, and the back is an acrylic heel, which is the modern element of me.
Absolutely.
And I just thought that actually summarizes me in the shoe. It's actually the perfect design.
We have to share a photo of it with our viewers, you know, to see it and listeners. So, how fantastic. So, that's how that came about. And do you have an all-time favorite fashion brand, or is it like picking a child and you can't?
I will say my weakness is Chanel.
Okay. Oh my God. I love weakness.
There's just something so
elegant
about it, you know?
And timeless.
And, you know, I have pieces that I've worn over and over again, and you can just bring it out. And so to me, my all-time favorite brand is definitely Chanel.
Lovely. And how would you describe your own personal style? And some fashion no-nos also. Let's do some fashion policing. Come on. One or two quick ones.
I'm good at fashion policing. I just think, for me, I always tell people, always just dress appropriate for the occasion.
Right, of course. And basics.
You know, so know who your crowd is and what's appropriate. Obviously, if you're with, like, I don't know, I just, sometimes people walk in a room and I'm like, did you read the invitation or do you know where you are? Like, it's just, I just think you have to be appropriate for the occasion.
Absolutely.
And I also think for anyone who is, whether you're hosting a party or you are attending a party, you know, as a host, if you want people to dress a certain way, you know, definitely put the dress code there.
Absolutely.
It just helps. It helps them. If you think people, if you want your party to look a certain atmosphere.
Right.
And I think as a guest, you should respect that of a host. So if they are saying.
Yes, I actually went to a Diwali party in Mumbai where a lady walked in a denim jacket. And of course, it was like a 200 people party back in the day, like a couple of years ago. And I really looked at her and I just smiled and I said, you look comfortable. And she's like, oh, I am. And I'm sure I'm more comfortable than all of you. But I just thought it looked silly because everyone was in like saris and gowns and beautiful clothes and jewelry. And I didn't understand the aspect. And there was no reason for it. She wore a Chanel brooch over the jacket and that was it. And she thought she looked fabulous. Yeah. I mean, good for her. But I, like you said, everyone takes so much effort, you know, for a part. Sometimes it's bizarre. So I understand where you're coming from.
You know, be respectful of what.
Just nice.
Yeah.
I think it's good manners.
It's good manners. I'm all about manners. Like, I think things like that are really.
Yeah. So, Rosemane, you really are a symbol of woman empowerment, as
Thank
we love
you.
It. You've spoken at House of Commons in London last year for Women's Day and have won several awards, including being listed among the top 50 most influential women in the Gulf, a style icon, a media pioneer. I mean, I have to read this because there's so much. It's so wonderful. Lady of Luxury and so on. What's your message to women in the world we live in today? How can we collectively own it? I like saying that. To contribute to be a stronger, more equal and respectful society. Because I know you really come from a space of a lot of warmth and care and love, not only for work, but I've seen it. I mean, whether it's your cat or whether it's people and the charities you support art. I would love to know, like, you know, how would you describe that?
Yeah, I mean, I just think I love supporting women in small business. I think it's really important. I say this to everyone. I think everyone should have some sense of financial independence. And I mean that whether you're working or not.
Absolutely.
So if you are working, you don't have to be making gazillions of dollars, whatever, but having just even a little bit in your bank account, you know, I think is really important. And I think for women, you know, because I always get this question as well. They're like, well, I'm a mom or I'm handling my in-laws or family and I have all these obligations. I think if you are getting whatever the term is, allowance or pocket money, whatever it is, open your own account and just put a little bit in there for a rainy day. Because I promise you, a rainy day is going
to
come.
Happens to everyone.
Happens to everyone.
You never know.
And whether you need that money for your family or for your own independence or whatever it is, situation, just keep it aside in a very... honestly, that financial independence. And so wherever you get it from, right? You don't have to be working. Whatever it is, if your family gives it to you, whatever, just open an account.
Very, very wise words, honestly.
And I think that will literally give you a little bit of strength as well.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that
is the sense of empowerment and just sense of being independent,
I guess.
A little
bit independent. And I think, you know, when you have a little bit of that security, you start making decisions that are good for you, not out of obligation, not out of fear. And I think a lot of people have that. They have, they are in really bad situations, and because of this financial strain, they're making decisions that they're putting them in a very unsafe environment. So
unhappy, unhappy.
And so I just think that is the best thing that you can do.
Okay, so a couple more things from you. Fashion must-haves for this season. Fashion. We have to ask you that on a more fun, happier note.
People tell you during COVID and stuff, like, I don't even want to say the word COVID, but during this crazy pandemic, I mean, we haven't dressed up the way we used to.
Yes.
So honestly, the things that I've been buying now have been things that are, I don't want to say timeless, but just pieces I know I'm going to wear over and over again.
Yes.
Or they're pieces that I'll be like, oh, I can mix and match in my wardrobe already.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, they are a little bit more investment pieces, but I know I can wear them multiple times.
Yes.
And I can switch them up. So I've actually invested in a lot more separates this time.
Okay,
so,
nice.
You know, some few blazers that I can wear over jeans or, you know, shorts or something, but even like skirts that I can kind of dress down with a t-shirt.
Style them differently.
Yes. So I just think right now, until things...
Yeah, a normal, back to normal,
or whatever that's going to be.
We're all waiting.
Yeah, just invest in pieces that you know, because everyone loves to shop and have something new, makes them feel good. So, invest in pieces that you know you can maximize.
Nice. So, tell me, how do you separate your personal and your professional life? Because your work is your life.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, everyone has a personal life. Like I said, you know. So, how do you switch off? Or is it just okay? Is it just a part of who you are? And, like, my life amalgamates, you know, it's an amalgamation of everything.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't mind whether I'm on a holiday or whether I'm doing a podcast.
Yeah.
It's, for me, it's all the same because it's a part of my day of who I am, and I love it.
Yeah.
So it's in my blood now, you know. So is it the same for you, or do you like, is there somewhere you switch off? Or
I think for me, like when I'm home, I mean, you know, Instagram, just, I was one of the late ones to jump on Instagram, to be honest, because I really loved my personal life.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, over the past, I don't know, whatever it is, seven, 8 years, pretty much every brand I work with, they're like, no, Roseman, like in the contract, they're like, no, you have to do
stories and posts,
videos. Like, even if I'm emceeing an event or on stage or something, they're like, can you? And it's nice having people who follow you. I mean, if you look at my feed, you will, 99% won't find anything that is truly personal, to be honest. Like,
I keep
my family private.
Yes.
I keep my personal life private. When I'm home, I don't want to turn on the camera. I literally want to sit in my track pants and watch Netflix. So I'm not that reality star type of social media star. I use it really as a platform.
Absolutely.
Whether it's style tips that I want to share or I love beauty and skincare. So like for me, like if I find a great product.
Favorite product?
I will say, you know, I'm using Sunday Riley, I used Sunday Riley a while ago, and then I just got back into it, and I'm really happy with her retinol and her good genes.
Okay.
Barbara Strum just launched her vitamin C, which is really good as well.
Yes.
I think
it's a bestseller, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really nice. I love exploring skincare and beauty, and I just truly think that if you have a darker skin tone, there's some common things that all of us have, like the pigmentation, the dark circles. And so I just feel like, you know, if I can share a few of my tips of what's working for me. So I enjoy that, but I really do keep my personal life private. Like if I'm at dinner with my friends, like I literally put the phone in my bag.
Yes,
I'm like, I just want to enjoy that moment.
Absolutely. And I agree.
And I will say over the past, I want to say probably the past 2 to 3 years, like I think 2019, I really made a point to be present, you know, and put that phone away and just
switch off
and enjoy my time, whether it's my girlfriends or, you know, having tea with my mom or my sister or whatever it is, and not looking at my phone.
The perfect balance.
The perfect balance, you know, and so I think that's really hard because we're so addicted.
I know,
to our phones.
But I understand where you're coming from. It's nice to have some privacy,
yeah,
something for yourself, and
yeah,
not every, you know, it's,
and you don't have to share.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that brings me to my last question. I mean, you've been so generous with your time and sharing your life and all the lovely incidents and stories. Of course, we do want to know like some fun celebrity thing if you want to share that happened, or a funny incident, or a favorite incident, a moment. And also, what's next for your brand, Rosemann?
What's next?
What's next, darling? You're conquering the world anyway. What should we expect? And some fun facts if you want to share about anything.
I mean, a fun fact. You know, honestly, I don't get, to me, celebrity, and probably, and honestly, again, this probably starts because I was working with Tom Ford.
Absolutely.
I can imagine everyone he's ever dressed or
right,
all his friends are celebrities. So I was never, you know, for me, it's very much a business. Like, I don't get excited.
Sometimes you have, funny incidents.
So I was thinking,
a person who was really nice, or, you know, someone special, or a great friend.
I mean, I just think, I look at everyone and I'm like, oh, that's their job.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
they have to be nice.
Yeah, I'm like, a celebrity, that is their job. Like,
right,
you know, and actors and stuff. Like, I always think when actors come and they have attitudes, like, I'm like, dude, like, your job is based on fans. If you don't have fans,
absolutely,
you're not going to get booked again, right?
Right?
So, like, I just think, like, everyone has jobs. I don't have, stargazed or anything. Like,
yeah.
I just look at... I think, to be honest, the only people on my wish list that I want to meet or I'd love to have dinner with still is Oprah for sure.
Oh, lovely.
And
we've grown up watching her
show. Like, I just find her
honestly
so incredible. Oprah, I would love to, Michelle and Barack Obama, I love them as well. They're just people,
you can have great conversations with.
I just want to be around people that I learn from, you know.
Right.
And honestly, I say this all the time is that all of us, all of us are given the same 24 hours, right?
Right.
God gives that to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're done being, you know, being a mom, being whatever, a wife, being a daughter, a sister, working, whatever it is, right? When you're done all of that and then sleeping, allocate, your time for sleep, whatever's left in the day, whether it's 3 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, use it to do things that make you happy. Like, whether it's self-care or even if it's being in the spa or gym, whatever it is, be around people that make you happy,
mm-hmm,
that you come out of, whether it's a lunch with friends and that you've laughed and you're like, oh my God, that was such a great energy. Like, there's
absolutely
this great energy. Or I've learned from them. Like, they're mentors. Like, you're like, oh, I just learned something, you know? And so do spend your time wisely. That's all I would say.
How
that's
lovely.
Always my advice. Whether it's learning or taking another course, whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever makes you happy.
Yeah, whatever makes you happy, use your time wisely.
Right.
And don't be afraid to try. It's better you try and fail rather than just wonder what something is going to be.
And that's
like
what brings us where we are today.
Yeah.
You know, at least we're trying.
We're trying.
Pursuing our passions. Fantastic words, honestly. Mm-hmm. I am so inspired. I've always loved you, and now I'm really inspired by your words. So, well, that brings us to the end of a really, really inspiring and fantastic episode with the fascinating Rosemann.
Thank you
so much for being here with us at Empower and for the insightful, interesting, and such a fabulous, genuine chat, honestly.
Thank you.
And thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. Stay up to date with all this and more on my Instagram and Facebook, Meenakshi Kuwadikar, which has all the podcast-related content. Some fabulous pictures coming up, be it engaging videos or delightful pictures. Rosemann, we're going to put up some great fashion looks, your shoe, everything.
Thank you.
Okay, and specially curated for you. And feel free to email me anytime at empowerbymeenakshi@gmail.com. I don't know why I froze. Overwhelmed. And until then, as always, keep smiling, keep shining,
Thank
have a fantastic
you.
Week, and don't forget to own it.